It's 50 degrees in Chicago at 10:45. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents The Howard Miller Show. Now here with music on records is Howard Miller.
Thank you very much, Joe Foss. Once again to all of our friends everywhere in these United States, way up in Canada where that cold air continues to come from, I understand. We're speaking from Chicago for the swell product known as Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. I hope you enjoy it always. Today I think you're going to enjoy meeting a fine young performer by the name of Alan Case. You probably remember that he's a boy who just recently signed to the Columbia Record Company, whose record we featured a couple of weeks ago on the network, and we had a lot of good response to it, a lot of good reaction. And they tell me now that it is very likely that Alan Case's record could go on to rather incredible laurels for a first performance of a brand new singer from the musical comedy stage. You meet Alan Case, and you'll hear his story in just a moment on the Wrigley Show, but first, let's salute a little girl of song by the name of Miss Teddy King, her victory recording of the old Irving Berlin standard, Say It Isn't So.
Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. Everyone is saying you don't love me. Say it isn't so. Everywhere I go, everyone I know whispers that you're growing tired of me. Say it isn't so. People say that you found somebody new, and it won't be long before you leave me. Say it isn't true. Say that everything is still okay. That's all I want to know, and what they're saying. Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. People say that you found somebody new. It won't be long before you leave me. Say it isn't true. Say that everything is still okay. That's all I want to know, and what they're saying. Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. Come on and say it. Say it isn't so.
Isn't that a fine record? That's done, of course, by Teddy King, as we announced, a little girl singer who's comparatively new to the record industry and also to show world. From out Chicago way, we had a great opportunity on a number of occasions to present Miss Teddy King live and in person on radio and television, and also do some stage appearances. And we have felt for a great long while that artistry must finally emerge here, major artistry, and I think it has in this great standard arrangement, or rather great standard song written by Irving Berlin, coupled, of course, with the wedding of a wonderful arrangement. Who does that, Lou? Jackie Kane, I think he deserves equal billing on that record because it's a fanciful arrangement. He uses some of the Hugo Winterhalter strings. He uses some of the shading of some of the earlier men of music like Sauter and Finnegan. And it's just, all told, I think three of the most delightful minutes that you can possibly spend with recorded music. Teddy King, Say It Isn't So. I don't know what the exact reason will be that you'll walk into your store today and pick up Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. It might be any one of a dozen different reasons. I know some people who like it because it keeps their teeth clean and attractive. Other people buy it because it keeps their breath always sweet. A lot of people like it because after a big meal, which of course we're all given a little bit too much to, these days especially near the Easter holidays, that it aids digestion. Now it doesn't really make any difference why you choose Wrigley Spearmint. I can promise you something very important, that regardless of why you choose it, you'll always be delighted with the pure, clean taste of that spearmint leaf. So why don't you try Wrigley Spearmint? When you do, I know that you'll say, as so many thousands and thousands of people do, doggone, it's fun just to chew gum. So why don't you have Wrigley Spearmint? After a meal, before a meal, between meals, it makes no difference because it's light, it's wholesome, it's pure, it's refreshing. It's Wrigley Spearmint chewing gum. Let's talk to a young boy by the name of Alan Case. Alan, most singers come out of the metropolitan areas of this great country of ours. Very few of them come from out of Texas. Where did you get experience down around Dallas way to be a singer?
Well, Howard, I started out singing in the State Fair Musicals in Dallas. That's a summer stock production there.
Uh-huh.
And from the State Fair Musicals, I went with WFAA-TV.
Yes. For fear of losing what I consider good friends down in Texas, I certainly want to clear up even any doubt in their mind that I don't think that Texans don't have talent. It's just mm-hmm. that usually they get interested in making millions of dollars drilling oil wells, and they usually don't turn to show business. Well, now, in these productions down there, was this part of a school curriculum?
Oh, no, no. That's a professional productions that they do, like in St. Louis, the Muni Opera and Pittsburgh.
Oh, I see. Well, prior to that, Alan, where did you get your start? I mean, at the amateur level.
I worked in school at Southern Methodist University a bit mm-hmm. and studied for about 5 years voice training and was singing around town. I had a little group, a little combo that we worked with.
You're also a musician?
Well, I play the clarinet, but not well enough to be considered a musician.
But you still carry a card, I suppose. Yeah. Alan, it seems to me that amateur theatrics, of course, is a great way to start a career as a singer, because you've got to have a lot of heart for a song, and dramatics do it. Well, now, in view of the fact that you had that, when was it first that you decided that you would like to couple a dramatic ability with a singing ability?
Well, I was in school at SMU, studying to be a doctor, oddly enough, and in the back of my mind was this idea that I might like to try show business. So when the auditions came for the musicals, I decided, well, I'll try it one summer. That's 3 months mm-hmm. stint that they have. And it kind of got in my blood then, and I went back the next year and was in the musicals another 3 months, actually. And from there, I went into radio in Dallas, and from radio right into television, and from television to the Godfrey Show in New York.
Whatever happened to the scalpel and stitches? Did you leave them behind? You've given up the idea, the thought of a doctor?
Yes. I guess I'm too lazy, really, to really sit down and study as much and as hard as you have to do to be a doctor. The time involved is such a big element, and especially when show business keeps banging you in the back of the head.
Well, I don't want to be arbitrary and start an argument, Alan, but I sometimes think maybe you're humiliating yourself beyond the point of need, because don't you think that show business is just as exacting a career for study and for accomplishment as even being a doctor, a lawyer, a professional man?
Well, I found that now. I went to New York and studied like crazy, you know, while I was doing the Godfrey Show, and here trips like this one that I'm taking, they get pretty exacting when you get 6 hours, five hours sleep.
Did you win the old Redheads competition?
Yes, I won the Talent Scout and was then on his morning show for 5 weeks and his Wednesday night show a couple of weeks and Friday night radio.
Yes. Was it off of that show that Mitch Miller had an opportunity of hearing you and deciding that you should also be a part of the Columbia Record subsidiary?
Yes, that's right. I signed with Columbia while I was still on the show.
And now you've made your first record.
That's right.
Alan, it seems to me that when I listen to both sides of this first record of yours, that I noticed a trace of a legitimate voice there. Did you study legitimate voice? By legitimate, I mean, of course, the heavier music, the light operettas or the operas. Did you think about that for a while?
I never studied opera. I never cared for opera. I like to listen to someone who has a beautiful operatic voice. But my voice was never big enough when I was studying to study opera.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I were going to study opera, now would be the time to do it. When the voice is completely mature, I think now is the time. But leading up to this, I would have had to study Languages like,
of course,
French
sure.
and German.
But
was it
in the back of your mind someplace that maybe you would like to train your voice along legitimate lines rather than
always
pop?
Musical comedy, Helen.
Always musical comedy.
Always musical comedy.
Does that then go on to say that you will someday consider the Broadway stage, that you'd rather do legitimate theater than nightclubs?
Well, I was just on tour for 58 weeks with Damn Yankees, playing the lead in Damn Yankees. I played here for 3 months here in Chicago and played every major
city.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yes, and I'm going to New York now to play South Pacific at the City Center.
Oh, that's a wonderful opportunity. What role will you sing?
Cable. Lieutenant Cable. That's Younger and Spring
County. Yes. And that means that chances are then you're going to be bottled up at the level of the legitimate theater so that you won't be able to go out and do the nightclubs and the theaters and the disc jockey tours and so forth.
That's probably true. However, I want to branch off as much as possible. I've got a television series coming up in which Rory Calhoun and myself co-starred, mm-hmm. a thing called Here Comes the Showboat that we're going to start filming in June, which integrates music right into the plot of a show about the life of two fellows on the Mississippi River and their showboat.
Well, it certainly sounds to me like you're well situated and that you're certainly well on the way to making a brilliant career for yourself in show business. I want to wish you the very best of luck, Alan. And I think maybe the most tangible way I can do it is by playing your new Columbia record and wishing for you that it's a great big hit. So let's listen to it.
Thanks.
Here is Alan Case, his new Columbia record, his first Columbia record, as a matter of fact, and it's called Me Too. It's a tune done by Alan Case. It's a Shapiro Bernstein tune, discovered, of course, by the eminent Mr. Leonard Wilson, who in his travels across the country found this song, submitted it to the publisher, I understand, and then, of course, subsequently assigned by Mitch Miller, the A&R head of Columbia, to Alan Case. Alan, I certainly want to thank you for being here in the studio. It's always great fun to talk to someone who is come off the Broadway stage and gone into the pop level of making records. And I certainly, as I said earlier, want to wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you, Howard.
And we'll be seeing you, I hope, real soon back in Chicago again. Now, for all the rest of you, let me suggest that for the Easter baskets, Mama, when you hide the eggs, why don't you hide a couple of packages of Wrigley? But make certain that they can be found, because the kids will get a great delight on the Easter Sunday of having colorful Wrigley Spearmint in all the Easter baskets. We're going to be seeing you again tomorrow. Joe Foss will tell you how and why at your favorite dial setting, which would be CBS. Until then, may we then present the star of our show, friends, a man who has had so many honors heaped on him. The latest is the Face Men organization. Here is Joe Foss. Joe, congratulations.
Two piercing men. Be sure to join Howard tomorrow at the same time when his guest will be Dick Coleman on the CBS Radio Network. WBBM Chicago.